see you have a large kitchen-type clock leaning up against the front pew. Somebody must have known I was coming. It's kind of like the little boy who's Presbyterian, and his next door neighbor was in his grade school, and the little Presbyterian boy kept talking about what fun they had at Sunday school and how much he enjoyed the songs, worship. The little boy talked to his mom and going to church and Sunday school with a little Presbyterian boy. And he'd never been in a Presbyterian church. So he kept saying, "Well, what's that?" And he said, "That's the baptismal font." So they keep water in there, and when people make a profession of faith, they're baptized, pouring that water on their head. "Oh, well, what's that?" Said, "That's the Lord's table. When we have communion, we put the bread and the wine on it." "Oh, well, what's this?" He said, "That's antipendium. It hangs down in front of the pulpit. And the colors remind us of important seasons of the year." "Oh." Preacher took off his watch and laid it on the pulpit. And the next door neighbor boy said, "Well, what's that mean?" Little Presbyterian boy said, "Absolutely nothing." Maybe it'll mean something today. Our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Exodus, chapter 13. Going to read just one verse. The setting is this: the Lord has brought his people out of Egyptian bondage, and they came out prepared for war because they believed that Pharaoh would come after them. And God led them into that part of the world that just connects Egypt with the Middle East, Gaza, we call it today. And they got tangled up there in the shallow end of the Red Sea. It was called locally the Sea of Reeds. And there's a terrible thing happening here because the Egyptian army was behind them and this arm of the Red Sea was in front of them. And Listen, I'll start with the 18th verse. "But God led the people round by way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had solemnly sworn to the people of Israel, saying, 'God will visit you, and you must carry my bones with you from here.' And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night and a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, did not depart from before the people. Now, when Moses took the people out of the land of Egypt, they came out and a great multitude of Egyptians and other people went with them. Men, women, and children, about 600,000. Big crowd. Now, how in the world could you organize such a huge crowd, and how could you get them to all go the same way? Well, they were in a camp, and the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes, were laid out around the tabernacle, the tent that housed the Ark of the Covenant, like spokes in a wagon wheel. And in that yard of that tabernacle, a fire always burned. And when the sun went down, all you could see would be a column of fire. Now, I used to wonder about this till it just dawned on me one night. I was outside getting firewood. South Carolina, we had a 36-inch fireplace with fans. It was double-wall firebox. We heated the house with that. And I looked up and couldn't see the smoke for the darkness, but you could see those cinders, burning cinders, going up in a column. This was what was happening at night. Now, in daytime, it was a column of smoke. Now, how did God get them to go when and where he wanted them to go? Well, that column of smoke or that column of fire cinders would move before them and they would follow it. And when it stopped, they would camp around it. In other words, the people went where God wanted them to go. Moses and Aaron didn't have a council where they sat down with a map and said, looks like we can make 20 miles tomorrow, so we're going to go and stop there. They might not move for several days. Then we need to look in the New Testament, the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Talking about Paul and Silas. Luke had not yet joined them. This is one of the they passages. This is Paul's second missionary journey. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Asia was a province of the Roman Empire that included what we now call Turkey and Syria. And when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of God did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing, beseeching him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Sometime during this period, Luke joined them, because at the beginning of this paragraph, it's they. At the end of the paragraph, it's we. Do you see that? So this is a first-hand account of this. Now, I want to talk to you a few minutes about God's way and our way. In the Old Testament, when the people of Israel left the encampment of God, tried to go out on their own, they got into a lot of trouble. They were beaten severely, many of them killed. Paul and Silas and Luke wanted to go back into Asia Minor, where Paul had had great success in preaching the gospel. And God said, "Nope, don't go. The Holy Spirit communicated with their spirits. And when they looked at Asia Minor, they just couldn't go. That's about the best way I can explain it." Have you ever wanted to do something, but when you got down to doing it, you just couldn't bring yourself to do it? And maybe you could tell people why, and maybe you couldn't tell them why. But there was something that just grabbed your spirit. And somebody could have stood you up against the wall and shot you, but you just couldn't do it. Well, that's the way these three felt. And they had to make up their mind. Are we going to go against the witness of the Spirit and go on into Asia Minor? Or shall we go to Europe? Macedonia was the home of Alexander the Great. It was a old civilization, but a poor civilization, because it had been conquered by Rome. Now, how are we going to talk about that today? I guess the first half of this sermon is to the elders and to the church as they follow the elders. But I wish I had a dollar for every time some elder had said to me, "Why, preacher, we need to conduct the business of the church in a business-like manner." Now, what's wrong with that? the Church of Jesus Christ is not a business in the sense of the world being a business. In the business of a manager in the world is to make money. Now, the business of a manager in the Church of Jesus Christ is to extend the kingdom of God. At the end of the year, well, at the end of each quarter, the treasurer or an accountant or someone in the money end of the company gives a financial report. Do you have more money than you started off with at the first of this quarter? And then at the end of the year, it will give a year-end report of how the business did that year. It will set out the assets on one side, and on the other side it'll set out their debts. And if their debts exceed their assets, sooner or later their upkeep's going to be their downfall. Right? Well, in the Church of Jesus Christ, people. You see, the church is in the business of converting people so that they will worship God. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he told her, she was an immoral lady. He said, "Lady, go bring your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." Jesus said, "You spoke well, for you've had five. And the man you're living with now, you haven't bothered to marry." And she tried to change the subject. She said, "Well, where do you say we're to worship? Mount Gerizim?" Because she was of Samaritan stock, or Jerusalem. And Jesus would not be bypassed. He said, "The time is coming, and now is, when they that worship the Father will worship him in spirit and truth. For such the Father desires to worship him." The point of evangelism is to increase the number of people that worship God. And just a minute ago, the choir sang, "I'll Fly Away." Well, I'm sorry, they weren't talking about getting on an airplane and going somewhere. They're talking about one day, you and I are going to call it quits on this earth. We're going to go into eternity. This week I lost a member of my generation. I lost a first cousin. When we were young, there were three of us that were inseparable. There was Junior, and Jimmy Wayne, and me. Jimmy Wayne's the one that died. He could take a guitar and do anything with it. But now his guitar's silent. It's probably hanging on the wall of his living room. And he has gone to meet his maker. Someday we're going to do that, you know. And when we get there, God is not going to be the least concerned about whether Green Cum, Sylvania Church was more than your outflow. He's going to want to know one thing. How many people has this church won for Jesus Christ? That's the business of a church. Don't worry. You ain't going to run out of sinners. And I've got a disc in my car. It has a song on there. The gist of the song is about a man who was a Sunday school teacher in a small church. And he never did anything spectacular for the Lord. And he died on the day of judgment. A stranger came up to him and said, I want to thank you because a missionary came to your church and you really didn't have the money, so you wrote out a pledge for some money you couldn't afford. And he said, that money sent a missionary to my village. And I heard the gospel for the first time, and I want to thank you. Another person approached him and said, you probably don't remember me, but you taught my Sunday school class when I was in the fourth grade. And every Sunday you would have prayer with us. And one Sunday during your prayer, I gave my heart to Christ. And I want to thank you for that. That's a productive worker. That's one of whom Jesus will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy prepared for you. Friends, when we sit down to plan for the future, we probably ought not to use the tools of planning that you've learned at so great a cost in the business world. They serve you extremely well there, and I wouldn't have you do it any other way. But when we sit down to talk about the future of the Church of Jesus Christ, perhaps we need to think about that Samaritan, about that Macedonian who appeared to Paul, said, come over and help us. And Luke and Silas agreed. Maybe we need to think about that encampment in the wilderness when the children of Israel followed the glory of God. The glory of God by day and by night. And it becomes time then to ask that question, where is God leading us? The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the head of his church. The Westminster Confession of Faith says that God rules in his church through Scripture, as inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the first place we should turn is to the Bible. Say, what does the Bible say about this? What do you think God is saying to us through these circumstances? Is he calling us to serve him in a particular way at a particular time? I want to close with one illustration. When we moved the Highland Heights Presbyterian Church out on 64, where it is now, it wasn't long before we had to build an educational building. The building committee, against a lot of opposition, built it so that it could be used for Mother's Morning Out program. Because we were getting between 8 and 9 phone calls every day asking for help with children. The Episcopal Church just down the road was calling off their Mother's Day Out program. And several of our members had children there. So one of our elders called that program and said, would you come look at our situation? Tell us if you can work here or not. They came. They moved in over a lot of objections. Here's something that's happened. It wasn't long before the church began to receive members from that Mother's Morning Out program. And it wasn't transfer members. These were not people who were transferring from a church down the road into Highland Heights. These were people that had given up on church or who had never been exposed to Christianity. I and Tim Foster began to baptize entire families, mothers and fathers, babies and older children. It was like the New Testament around there. And you know what? It hasn't stopped. Now, we didn't try to get a Morning's Day Out program that worked. When we tried to build one, couldn't get the support. When God showed us the way and opened the door, he began to bless it because the smoke and the fire had moved. We saw the mothers in Cordova saying, won't you help us? He'll do that for the church, and he'll do that for individuals. Let us pray. Now, O Lord, we commend unto you thy words preached, and ask that we may be faithful in following them. that which you have laid upon our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.